It's right at the front, just like it is in everybody else's, all right? You ought to be able to find that on page 8 in that Schofield Bible. I want to read a few verses, if we could, and just get into the message and try to help you tonight and challenge you at the same time. Boy, and I think we come to the house of God, I think it ought to be a time of enjoyment. Hey, we ought to even enjoy getting under conviction, because when you get under conviction, you can get right with God. And so we ought to enjoy that. It shouldn't be a drudgery. I come to the house of God wanting God to speak to me, and I hope you come the same way. Verse 1, Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I want you to go back to verse 8, if you will. And right there, beginning kind of in the middle of the verse, the Bible says, "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you tonight. I need you to help me. Help me to preach, and Lord, exactly what's need to be said. And Lord, just speak to every one of us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe with all my heart the Garden of Eden was the most beautiful place the world has ever seen. I don't believe anything since then has ever been done to rival it. I just think it was just one of the most beautiful things. It was to say it was lush with growth is an understatement, because I believe at that time the whole earth was one of those places where you could go barefoot and just enjoy yourself, all right? Man, when I was a kid, I loved to go barefoot. We lived in Florida for 5 years. There was 1 year down there I went barefoot at least one day every month of the year. It was warm enough to do that. Loved to go barefoot. But, man, I just think, I believe in the Garden of Eden. I believe the grass was so lush that it was kind of like walking on deep pile carpet, all right? Just a beautiful place, everything, all kinds of fruit growing, vegetables. I mean, everything was there, you know. And you need to remember this, it was custom made for Adam and Eve. Custom made for Adam and Eve. They were placed there. It was made for them to live in that spot. Hey, it wasn't made for them to hide in. It wasn't made for them to hide in. And I submit to you, a garden is a good place to hide. Now, I'm not talking about a vegetable garden, okay? Hopefully, if you got a vegetable garden, there's straight rows pretty much, you know, and you can see down the rows and everything. There, you can't hide there, all right? But, I mean, a garden be a good place to hide. There was a time where it was real popular, probably 100, 150 years ago, these real rich people would have these huge gardens, all right? And if you go to the Biltmore Estate in, I think it's in North Carolina, if it's not in South Carolina, one of the Carolinas, you go to Biltmore Estate, they've got a huge garden there, all right? What was an old-time garden that was built. And, I mean, it's laid out. You can get lost in those things, all right? Big place, but wonderful place to hide. They're filled with hiding places. When I was a kid, loved to play hide-and-go-seek. I mean, one of my favorite things to do, we moved into Fort Myers, Florida, from out in on the river, and we moved into town. We moved at 847 James Street, and the folks that had lived there before us was a retired couple, and the man, I don't think, had anything to do but plant and tend garden bushes, all right? All kinds of bushes. I mean, there was trees everywhere. There was shrubbery. It was a marvelous place to hide. There was, like I say, there were flowers. The shadows could be there. There were narrow openings that you could squeeze into. It was a wonderful place to play hide-and-go-seek. And I think about, I read this account, and I think of Adam and Eve hiding in the garden, and, maybe they looked at it, and maybe they thought the garden would be just a really good place to try to hide from God. After all, it was filled with all the beauty God had made. Maybe. Look, if your thinking's not right, and their thinking wasn't right, maybe if you hid there, the Lord would have been distracted by that beauty, all right? Now you say, well, that's foolish. And I agree. There's no way to hide from God. You're right. There is no way to hide from God. Yet many people today, and maybe even some of you, think, well, I can hide from the Lord. How foolish. How foolish. I just want you to think with me tonight, just for a few minutes. Number one, you can't hide yourself. You can't hide yourself. You can't hide your person from God. Now, Adam and Eve tried. They gave it their best shot, all right? By the way, people hide when they're guilty. Now, you don't hide if you're innocent. If you're innocent, there's nothing to hide from, hide. You don't hide. You're innocent. No problem, okay? But it's guilty people that try to hide, all right? Guilty people try to hide. That's the reason some police officers catch people. Because they may be driving down the highway, but they just look guilty. And they try to merge in and try to look nonchalant, But when you're trying to do that, you really look guilty, all right? And that's the case. God knows, by the way, He knows where you are. You can't hide from Him. You may think, well, I can get away. No, you can't. I'm convinced there's a lot of folks today that try to hide in the crowd at church. They come to church and they seem to have this idea. Well, maybe, hey, if I'm at church, everybody will just assume that I'm a Christian. They won't realize I really am not a Christian, so I'll just hide in this bunch. I'll just try to blend in. Just try to blend in. I'm convinced. I know some folks that are talented and gifted, have great abilities to serve the Lord. And they're not serving the Lord. They're going to one of these, they go to a big mega church. I'm convinced they go to that mega church so they can just blend in, hide in the crowd, and not have to do a thing for God. Don't have to lift a finger, don't have to serve God, don't have to do anything. Got talent, got abilities, don't use them. Not using them at all. Churches have need of people to play instruments and everything, and people have got that ability, but they won't go. Or they'll say, I don't want to commit myself. I don't want to be committed. What are you trying to do? Hide from God. Some people do it. They think, well, I'll get lost in that crowd. Zacchaeus, fortunately, he didn't get lost in the crowd. I think, he said, well, I'll get up in the tree. Now, let's face it, we don't look for people in trees, right? Most time, we don't look for people in trees. And if we accidentally see somebody, we go, what in the world are they doing up that tree? Zacchaeus, he couldn't hide in the crowd. I say this to you, even a short man stands out to God when he needs to be saved. Even a short man stands out. Look, you can't hide your person. A lot of people, though, try to do it. They try to do it. When I was a kid in school, especially in high school, we had to do oral reports. I tried to hide from behind the kid in front of me. I just tried to make myself small as I could make myself, kind of hunched down in the seat, lean forward and hide and hope the teacher won't see me and he won't call on me today and the Lord will come tonight so I won't have to give that report tomorrow. And you say, really? Yeah, that was me. That was me. Try to hide. Hey, you can't do it. Hey, you can't hide from God, but wait a minute. You can't hide from the call of God. You can't hide from the call of God. But how many times have we heard, how many testimonies have you heard, do you think, down through the years? If you've been in church for years and years, how many people have you heard get up and say, man, I ran from the call of God. I tried to hide. I tried to hide. I ran from that. I knew God was calling me, but I didn't give. Hey, listen, you can't hide from the call of God. If God's called you, you can't hide that, all right? You can't hide from that. The Bible tells us that one of these days, even during the tribulation period, that people are going to try to hide themselves from God. If you read over in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16, that those people are saying, and they're crying to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us, to hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. They wanted to hide from God, all right? Hey, you can't do it. Take your Bible, go to Psalms chapter 139, the 139th Psalm, would you? Man, boy, if you can't be convinced, this verse right here, these verses ought to convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt. You just absolutely cannot hide from God. You can't get away from him. Cannot do that. Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Hey, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall follow me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the light, night shall be light about me. Hey, listen, you get the picture? You can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Adam and Eve thought we're going to hide from him. They knew he was coming. They knew he was coming. They said, we're going to hide from him. Now, you and I don't know when he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. But I'll tell you this, there's no time, day or night, you can hide from him. If he's called you, if he points his finger at you, you can't hide. You just can't do it. You can't hide yourself. You can't hide your person. But wait a minute, it goes further than that. You can't hide your stuff either. You can't hide your stuff from him. Look, I want to make it real plain. We need to understand something. Everything you have, God gave it to you. And everything, honest, everything you have belongs to him. You said, now wait just a minute. Wait just a minute, preacher. That's not true. I'm going to be honest with you. Everything you see in this world belongs to God. Everything. You say, wait a minute. It's built by atheists, and I know that, but it belongs to God. Said, how do you figure? Because the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. Somebody said, well, I built it. I framed it. I remind of that old joke. You probably heard it, that one day the devil and the Lord were talking, and the devil said, I can do anything you can do. And the Lord said, all right, you see. So he reached down, grabbed the dust of the earth, molded a man, breathed life into him, and there was a living soul. And old Satan reached down, grabbed some dirt, and the Lord said, wait a minute. You get your own dirt. You get your own dirt. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, everything here is God's. Everything here, he put it here. That automobile you drive down the road, all of the metal that was there, God put that metal in the earth. Man dug it up. By the way, they dug it out of his ground. They dug it out of his ground. And they, you know, made it. Everything that's here belongs to God. That means everything you've got belongs to him. You're just a steward of it. You're to be the caretaker, all right? You're to be the caretaker. You're to take care of it. God's given it to us, and he said, all right, you're to be a good steward. I believe you're to be a good steward of everything you get. Everything you get. I mean, you name it, I don't care what it is. I get aggravated when people want to just throw something away. I say, well, can it be used? Old brother Eric Dameron worked for me right after my dad died. He came to work for me, and he was a kind of a computer geek fella, and he was always, and we had an old Tandy 1000 computer, all right, and had a daisy wheel printer. And we use them floppies, real floppies, the big floppies, okay? And put that thing in that machine. And boy, he gave us a hard time about that. I said, hey, boy, it works. It still works. It'll do the job, all right? It does the job. I'll say this about a Tandy 1000 computer. They last longer than the ones today. And but it finally gave up the ghost, and the printer quit working. The daisy wheel lost letters, couldn't do it anymore. So I took a picture when we threw it away and sent it to Brother Dameron, all right? And this was years after he had left, and I said, hey, we got rid of it. You see, I think we ought to be good stewards. I just think we ought to be good stewards. I don't like to give it. About the time my shirts are really comfortable, my wife said, you need to throw that away. No, man, it's comfortable now, really comfortable, all right? And I said, you need to get rid of it. It's faded. I say, faded is in. Man, people nowadays buy stuff faded, all right, you know. You say, what is it? Well, I just want to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward. I don't want to get rid of something that's usable. If it can be used, I want to use it, all right? You can't hide your stuff from God. Now, there were some people in the New Testament who thought they could. Look with me in Acts chapter 5, would you? Acts chapter 5. There's some people there that thought, well, we can hide what we've got, and nobody will ever know it. In Acts chapter 5, we find that account of them in the early days of the church. And boy, God had blessed the church. It was growing. People were getting saved, and folks were excited, and they were giving. And some people, there was a couple in the church that said, we're going to get in on that. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now, Ananias and Sapphira thought, well, we can hide part of this. Now, wait a minute. I want you to notice very plainly, the Apostle Peter made it plain. Look, when it was yours, it was all yours. When you sold it, everything you got was yours. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem that they didn't give it all. The problem was they claimed they did. Now, that was the problem, okay? The problem was they claimed they did. Now, I'll tell you this straight out. That stuff you've got, you owe some of it to God. That stuff you've got, you owe some of it to God. Man, you're looking at a preacher that believes the tithe is the Lord's. I believe the place to give it's through the local New Testament church. And that's the way God designed it. That's the way he set it up. Hey, that's the way he decided to finance the work of God, and to finance the church. I believe this till the day I die. If every member of a church gave the way they should, no church would have financial problems. And if every member of a church got right with God and paid everything they owed him in the back, every church would be filthy rich. I mean, they'd just be rich because members didn't give when they should have, all right? Now, I encourage you to give. Encourage you to give. Man, why? You can't hide your stuff from God. Don't say, well, I gave it all if you only gave part, all right? If you only gave part. Some people kind of promise God that. They promise God, look, you can have everything that I am, but. Hey, don't throw that in there. If you're going to say, Lord, you can have it all, then let him have it all. Let him have it all. You said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, except I don't want to go there. Lord, you can call me anywhere, but not there. Now, I've made it plain, if God wants me in California, he's going to have to write it in the clouds. All right, he's going to have to write it in the sky. Lord, if you want me to go to California, you're just going to have to write it in the sky, all right? You say, what if he does? I'm going to California. All right? Now, between you and me, I hope he doesn't, okay? Listen, we ought not to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want and then put a condition on it. Don't do that. We say, I'll do this. Lord, I'll give you everything except my financial resources. Hey, I'll give you everything except my child. Except my child. You know, I don't want you to call them and serve you. I don't want you to call them. I don't want them to go in the mission and field, all right, and be in the mission field for years. I don't want to be separated. Look, I want to tell you something. There was a day when I was a kid, when you were called to mission field, you bid adieu to your family and you didn't see them probably for a good 4 years at least, but not only did you not see them, you didn't talk to them. Man, you didn't do it. Now today, with the wonder of the internet, you can not only talk to them, but you can look at them on the screen. They can look at you in real time. And you can be eyeball to eyeball. You can see them. But man, years ago, you couldn't. You went to the mission field. They were gone. They didn't see their kids, and that was it. I mean, they were just gone. They were away from you, all right? But in our day, it's not that bad, but there's still people who say, Lord, I'll give you anything, but I don't want you to call my child. And if they want to surrender, I'm going to try to talk them out of it. Now, I'll just tell you this. You can't hide your stuff. You can't hide your stuff. Don't do it. Hey, say, Lord, I'll give you anything, but not that talent. Hey, could I just say this to you? If you can sing, go to sing in the choir. Go to sing in the choir. If you can carry a tune, go to sing. Go to get in the choir. I'll never forget, years ago, I went to Providence Baptist Church. And I was down in East Texas, out from Koontz, Texas. And I was down there staying a couple of weeks with my aunt and uncle, and we went on Sunday night to Providence Baptist Church. Everybody that sang got in the choir. There was a little bitty church, but if everybody went and got in the choir, they was going to sing. The people that did not get in the choir did not sing. They just sat there and let the choir do all the singing. Now, I don't think we ought to do that. I think everybody ought to sing when they come to the house of God. But I'll be honest, I think if you can carry a tune, you've got a little bit of that, you ought to get in the choir, you ought to sing. You ought to sing, you ought to be willing to do it. Oh, I'm bashful. Okay, get up in the choir and bashfully sing. Bashfully sing. Well, you know, I can't look at people. Okay, look at the floor and get up there and sing. I believe you ought to use your talent for God. Man, there's a lot of people that when they were in high school, they played in the band, and then when they got out, they never touched the instrument again. They could have played in church. Could have played in church. A lot of churches could have orchestras. I mean, there could be all kinds of instruments there. Look, if you've got talent, won't you just give it to God, all right? Just be willing to give it to Him, all right? All of it. And so I don't have a talent. I can't sing. And boy, I just, you know, hey, I don't have any kids, so I'm out. Wait a minute. Have you got some time? Got some time? Now, preacher, that's one thing I don't have. Yeah, you do. You got 24 hours in every day just like everybody else does. And we ought to give some of it to God, all right? We ought to not hold back on our stuff. Don't try to hide your stuff. People make all kinds of excuses, and all they're doing is trying to hide their stuff. Hey, you can't hide yourself. You can't hide your stuff. And I say it real plain, you can't hide your sin. You cannot hide your sin. Hey, Adam and Eve were hiding because they had sinned. That's why they went and hid themselves. Why? Well, they had sinned. Now, boy, tons of people try to do it. Try to hide their sin. I just want to tell you, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Let me give you a few Bible examples. Achan in Joshua chapter 7. Turn over there, all right? We're not in a hurry. We don't have anywhere to go except home. And home will be there when we get there. Joshua chapter 7, if you will. Look down in verse 21. Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. Here's the testimony of Achan. Testimony of Achan. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are, notice, hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. He said, it's all there. I hid it. Now, he didn't hide it. Now, I just want to tell you, boy, when he said it was in his tent, you do understand there were a lot of tents of the nation of Israel. They've just crossed the Jordan. They've just taken Jericho. They're still camped. They're living in those tents. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, all right? There were a lot of tents. And man, God pointed out to Joshua, hey, there's sin in the camp. And they just kind of begin going down the line. God led them right straight. I've always thought how it would have been to have been Achan that day. You ever thought about that? Look at all these tents. How are they going to figure out it's in mine? Nobody saw me. Nobody saw me. By the way, nobody did see him. Nobody saw him. He said, we're safe. So they went through all the tribes and it landed on his tribe. Now I figure at that point, that might have been a little moving of the collar. But when it got to his branch of that tribe, I believe sweat began to break out on his brow. Because he realized nobody saw me, but God did. God did. You cannot hide your sin from God. You can't do it. I don't care who you are, all right? Can't do it. Achan tried. Adam and Eve tried. Hey, we'll go on a little further in the Bible. You go to over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. There's a fellow you might know his name, David. And David sinned a great sin, but he figured, I'll cover it up. I'll hide it. And so in attempting to hide it, he committed another sin. He was guilty not only of adultery, but now he's guilty of murder. And so he's not hiding one sin, he's hiding two sins. But you can't hide your sin from God. That's why Nathan sat down in the tent with him and began to tell him a story about a man that only had one little sheep. But a neighbor had tons of sheep. And the neighbor had a guy come to visit with him. They was going to feed the neighbor. And the neighbor came and took that one guy's one little sheep and slew it. David said, boy, we'll have his head. And Nathan said, yeah, it's you. Thou art the man. See, David found out, I can't hide my sin from God. I can't hide my sin from God. Now, folks, how many examples do you need? How many examples do you need? You can't hide your sin. I mean, the best laid plan you've got, you cannot hide it. Cannot hide it. God knows about it. You can do it. There's only one remedy. The remedy is in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, man, a well-known verse. It's been quoted. It's been used. But the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hey, you say, well, it wasn't a very big sin. Doesn't matter. You can't hide your sin. Well, preacher, it was such a big thing. I don't want to get out there and confess it. Nope, you need to confess it. But listen, preacher, you don't understand. Not only is it a sin, but it's got a hold on me. It's a habit, and I can't forsake it. If you'll confess it, you can forsake it. You can forsake it. It can be dealt with. It can be covered. But you can't hide it. You can't hide it. Adam and Eve, in the best hiding place in the world, couldn't hide from God. Could not do it. Hey, in our day and age, it's hard to hide from anybody. There's cameras everywhere. Cameras everywhere. We don't even think about it, but they're there. I mean, it's just cameras everywhere. You can't hide. And you say, well, I didn't see the camera. Man, we got drones flying around. You can't hide. You can't hide from man, but I guarantee you can't hide from God. You cannot do it. Hey, you just can't do it. You can't hide yourself. Can't hide yourself. You can't hide your stuff, and you can't hide your sin. You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, don't hide. Just know to get your hand up. Hey, who did it? Get your hand up. That's what you ought to do. That's what you, but preacher, that's, yeah, I know. I know. It's hard. I know. Because we've still got that old wicked heart of ours that says, I can get away with it. No, you can't. No, you can't. Just can't do it. Oftentimes at school we'll have something going on and we'll say, all right, we need to know who did this. You've never seen such an innocent looking bunch in all your life. All right? I mean, it just guilt-free. I mean, they never done anything wrong. And sometimes it's a good thing, but they won't admit it. Kids are so afraid, you know, that. But you can't hide. It's going to come to light. There have been many things happened through the years in school, and I just didn't. I just said, I'll sit on it. I'll wait. I'll find out. And you do. You do. We had a bus get burned up several years back. Somebody remember that? We had buses, and one of them, boy, one night I got a phone call. I think it was after church. I can't remember if it was on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I think it was on Sunday night. I got a phone call. I just got to the house. I got a phone call from a lady that lived right behind the school. She had three kids graduate from our Christian school. And she called me and she said, "Hey, Brother Mosley, your bus is on fire." Do what? You know, you just when they nail that with you to begin with, you say, "The bus is on fire." Okay, man, I hopped in the car, took off. I got to the gate before the fire truck did, all right? And I had the gate pushed open. I don't mean it had a little fire. I mean, when I got there, flames were coming out of every window on the bus. It was cooking, all right? And you're standing there, and all of a sudden you hear this, psh, and it had burned a hole through the tire, and the tire lost pressure. If you steal today, go down there and look, and you know where to look, you can find melted aluminum on the parking lot down there. Because that bus burned up, man. And we didn't know what it was, but we just kind of sat on it, talked to the fireman. He said, "Well, yeah, don't worry, something will come to light." Sure enough, kids can't keep their mouth shut. And so, I mean, they were at school at old Haltom High School, and they got to talking about it. Word got out. Two guys found out they had set off a fireworks, some kind of rocket thing, and in a stroke of brilliance, they had leaned it. They said, "Well, we set it off. We put it in the window thinking it would shoot out the window of the bus," and said, "We lit it. And when we lit it, it fell into the bus." Well, I'll tell you, buses burn, man. All that rubber and everything's in buses. It's dry. It'll burn like a heartbeat. And it burned up. But you can't hide your sin. Can't hide your sin. It'll come to light. Hey, what do you do? Get your hand up. He said, "You can't hide your person." Listen, if the Lord calls you, don't run from him. Just stick your hand up and say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'll do what you want me to do." No, don't run from him. Why waste that years? Why spend those years running from God or those days running from God? Instead, just say, "Okay, Lord, hey, by the way, won't you just volunteer so he don't have to call you?" Say, "Lord, here I am. If anything I can do, I'll do it. I'll do it. Preacher, there's nothing in church I can do. I can't sing. I can't preach. I don't know enough Bible to teach a Sunday school lesson." All right, after church tonight, you can run them up. No, I've never had classes in that. Well, you don't have to be a genius to operate a mop. I know it's a complicated piece of machinery, all right? But you can do it. Like the mama said, "Charles, you turn loose that wheelbarrow, you know you don't know nothing about machinery, all right? Hey, listen, it's simple. It's simple. You can do it. I'm saying, volunteer. Lord, now why can't we be more like Isaiah when he said, "Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I." There's a need. Man, don't try to hide yourself. Volunteer. Be like a kid in school that wants to be on a certain team and they're picking teams. They'll step out. If they don't get picked, then they don't want to be on that team, so they'll try to slip back and hide. And now the guy picks, they step back out. Why can't we be that way with God? Why can't we just come to him and say, "Lord, would you just choose me? Let me serve. Let me be involved. I want to do something for you." Instead, we see ones that are called and they try to hide from God. Don't hide yourself. Hey, don't hide your stuff. Just be a good steward. Just be a good steward. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God doesn't want it all. I'm glad he lets me have some stuff. I'm glad he lets me enjoy some of that stuff. I've got a bunch of stuff. Studying this message this afternoon, sitting in my study, and I was thinking about the stuff I had, man. Now, stuff you probably, most of you say, "Who wants it?" I do. It's my stuff, okay? Man, I got shelves and shelves of books, and I've got, man, just tons of CDs and record albums, and boy, it's stuff I really, and I'm so glad God lets me have it. I'm so glad he lets me have that. But I don't want to ever get to the point where that stuff has me. I don't want to get to that point. I want to give back to him, but I want to be a good steward of what he lets me have. I want to take care of it. Take care of it. I've told you about when I was a kid, we'd get a football every Christmas. We tried to nurse that football to the whole year long. We were careful about what we did with it. We didn't abuse it. It was a football, but we never kicked it. All right, and because we knew it wouldn't stand it. That usually give out before the next Christmas. But that's all right. If we get as close as we could, we get another one at Christmas. All right? And I want to be a good steward. I don't know how many times I've played a baseball game with a baseball that didn't have any cover left on it and is wrapped in a tape, you know, an electrician's tape. I had a black baseball. Why? Well, it worked. It worked. You could use it. It would get the job done. Hey, you know, we'll learn to be good stewards of things. We'll learn to take care of things. But don't be afraid to give to God. Don't be afraid to give to Him. Hey, we got mission conference coming up. God deals with you, and you ought to come to Him and ought to be, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? And we ought to pray that way. We ought to seek His will and be willing. Lord, whatever you want, I'll give it. I'll give it. And say, well, boy, it seemed like a lot. Yeah, but God's given it all to you, and if you'll give back to Him what He wants, don't worry, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. I'm just glad He lets me have what I have. Just glad He lets me have what I have. Hey, don't hide yourself. Don't hide your stuff. Whatever you do, don't hide your sin. Don't do it. Now, I don't mean brag about it, but bring it to Him and confess it. Bring it to Him. I don't want to see you on the news. I don't want to see you on the news where you've been found guilty of some sin and you're going to have to go to court. Man, I don't want to see you there. You don't want to see me there. But what we need to do is just confess our sin. Confess that sin. When God puts His finger on your life and said, look, that right there is wrong, you know it's wrong, you ought to get it right. You ought to get it right. There should not be a desire in our heart to say, a couple more weeks. No, we ought to get it right then. Get it right. Man, I've sinned. I know I've sinned. I need to make it right. You say, well, I'll wait till Sunday. I'll be honest with you. I think you ought to get right where you are. Wherever you are, when it comes to your sin, just deal with it right there. You don't have to come. By the way, if the Lord's pointed out something during the message and you are in church, you ought to walk the aisle and get right with God. You say, wait a minute. My sin had nothing to do with what the preacher preached. And if I walk the aisle, everybody's going to think I'm guilty of what he's preaching. Oh, forget that. And just worry about being right with God. You can't hide your sin. Can't do it. Boy, get it right. Confess it. It's so good. It's so good when you can get right with God. Boy, there's nothing quite like, you know how the feeling is when you're nasty and dirty and sweaty and you come in, you get in the shower. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to get out of that and you're clean? Boy, how much better it is to be able to leave and know your soul's clean. You're right with God, taken care of it. It's been confessed. Don't haul it around with you. Don't take it with you. Deal with it. Deal with it, whatever it is. Well, preacher, it wasn't that big a thing. It was sin. It's sin. It is that big a thing. Well, it's just, hey, the world wouldn't think much of it. I mean, just a little gossip. We'll deal with the gossip. Confess it. Get it right. Get it right. Hey, here it is. You can't hide from God. Can't hide yourself. Can't hide your stuff. Can't hide your sin. Don't try. Don't try. They say, what am I supposed to do? Just stick your hand up and say, Lord, it's me. Old song said, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, be ready for that, all right? Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight.